I dreamed a dream in time gone by, when hope was high and life worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. Such were the words that were put into the mouth of the character Fantine in the musical Les Mis. And despite whatever elements of sin or confusion may have been intermingled in her mind and her desire and dream for what the world should be when all is right and true, I think there is some element of truth, something right in what she wanted. And part of what she wanted was for people to treat her right, for people to love and be kind to her and be faithful to her. And Solomon tells us in the Proverbs that this, in fact, is what is desirable in man. And so please turn with me, if you would, to our text for tonight, which is Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22. Solomon writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar." Now, the first part of the verse before us is somewhat difficult to translate, but the more modern translations seem united and take it in the general sense rendered by the New American Standard and the English Standard Version. And so we just read the New American Standard rendering of it, which is, "What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it's better to be a poor man than a liar." Similarly, the ESV renders it, "What is desired in a man is steadfast love, and a poor man is better than a liar." And so understanding the text then, according to that translation, the meaning then would essentially be that what a person desires from someone else is to receive kindness or steadfast love from someone else. In other words, this is what we want in our interpersonal relationships with each other as human beings. We desire that people will treat us with kindness or steadfast love. This is what we want from one another. This is what is desirable. And this is we find a related statement to this in the second part of the verse, where we're told that it is better to be a poor man than a liar. And so even if someone happens to be poor, this is no problem if they exercise the type of kindness in their relationship with others, because what we desire in someone is this kindness, this steadfast love from someone else. In fact, it is better to be poor than to be a liar, because being a liar is not going to, someone who is a liar is not going to be treating someone else with kindness. Lying and kindness don't go hand in hand together too well. And so a lack of material wealth is better than a lack of kindness, because at the end of the day, as a general rule, we desire kindness from the people with whom we interact. And so if this kindness is indeed a thing that is desirable in man, then tonight, let's consider a few questions about it. First of all, what is it? What is this kindness of which Solomon speaks? And secondly, why is it desirable? And third, how do we obtain it? Or in other words, how do we become the kind of people who are characterized by this kindness? And so first of all, what is it? What is this kindness of which Solomon speaks? The word that is translated here by the New American Standard as kindness, or by the English Standard Version as steadfast love, is a rich word that conveys a sense of goodness, graciousness, mercy, loyalty, covenant faithful. Someone who is described in this way is someone who's faithful and dependable. If they make a commitment to you, they will honor it. They will carry it through. There's a steadfastness to it. And at the same time, connected with that steadfastness are the elements of graciousness and kindness and mercy and love. We could imagine potentially someone who has some but not all of the characteristics that make up the total package that the scripture refers to as steadfast love. We could think of someone who maybe is reliable or dependable or faithful, and at the same time they're very unkind, very lacking in grace in their relationships. They'd be the kind of person who, if you had an appointment and you showed up on late and they were on time, they would stick your face in it. And they would say, "I was here on time, where were you?" And they would refuse to let you forget the fact that you'd been late and they were on time. That's not a picture of the kindness or the steadfast love that Solomon is talking about. And then on the other hand, we might be able to think of someone who is very gracious and kind, but yet not very faithful. And that's not what is in view either. When Solomon says that what is desirable in a man is his kindness or his steadfast love, he is speaking of someone who is kind and good and gracious and merciful and also reliable, dependable, and faithful. This is what Solomon is speaking of, and he says, this is what is desirable in man. So that's what it is. And the second question then is, why is this desirable? Now, on the one hand, this question should be a no-brainer for us. Why is this kindness or steadfast love desirable in a man, right? In one sense, this is a no-brainer. After all, who would want to be friends with someone who is not good, not gracious, unkind, unloving, unfaithful, unreliable, unloyal? Those qualities are the exact opposite of what we picture when we think of what our ideal is for who our friends will be, or what our ideal is for our spouse, or our ideal for what we want our children to turn out to be. It's obvious on the one hand, right? But then let's take one step further back. Why do we desire what we desire in this regard? Why is it generally true that we do desire in other people that they will be kind and show to us steadfast love? I think ultimately we have to trace such a desire of humanity in general back to the fact that we're created in the image of God. And though we're fallen, and as a result of the fall have sought out many evil and wicked devices, yet nevertheless, despite our fallen condition, we still have a conscience. By God's grace, even non-believers can still know to some extent what is good and what is bad. And so Paul tells us a little bit about that in Romans 2, 14 and 15, when he said that when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. And so mankind in general has this intuitive sense that steadfast love is a desirable quality. Now, maybe we don't always desire it in ourselves or desire to show it to other people ourselves, but we certainly want other people to show it to us. We can certainly at least recognize that much. This is why Christ can say in the Golden Rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And he says that this is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Christ can say that because, generally speaking, we do desire that steadfast love be shown to us. And therefore, Christ says, what you want done to you, do to others. And that's loving your neighbor as yourself. And so so we do have this desire for steadfast love. And even if unbelievers can understand that steadfast love is desirable in a man, how much more then do we as believers in Christ understand that this is a desirable quality? We know it is desirable because we're made in the image of God and because we know God's word, and that God's word reveals to us both that this is what God is like and that this is what we should be like as well. So, for example, Psalm 136 reminds us in all of its 26 verses that his loving kindness is everlasting. It's the same word. His loving kindness or his steadfast love is everlasting. It shows up 26 times in 26 verses. Again, we're reminded of this in Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23, that the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And the prophet Micah gives us a picture of what this looks like in Micah 7:18 when he says, who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love, or delights in loving kindness, this kindness which Solomon is speaking of. This is what God is like. This steadfast love is something that God delights in. He loves to show it to people. God's not sitting back and saying, well, I really want to execute judgment, but I know I should be exercising some loving kindness toward this person, so I'll do it. God's not like that at all. We might be like that sometimes, but God's not like that. He delights in loving kindness. He loves to act this way towards his people, and so he does. And of course, we see the preeminent example of this kindness and steadfast love in our Lord Jesus Christ. We see it in the humility and humiliation of the incarnation. We see it in his life that was lived without sin on our behalf, and we see it in his willingness to die for sinners. It is in him that we see love for sinners, kindness expressed towards misfits and outcasts. We see in his life faithfulness to God and faithfulness to his people. In short, we see the loving kindness and covenant faithfulness of God on display in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only is this steadfast love a characteristic of God, he calls us to live like this as well. And that famous verse, Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness. Same word, to love kindness or steadfast love, and to walk humbly with your God. Similarly, we are told in the opposite way in Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, that when this is not done, that God is displeased. And so when Hosea says, listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. Again, the Lord is very pleased when his people exercise this type of kindness, this steadfast love, and he is very displeased. He has a charge against his people when they refuse or fail to execute it. And so, that being the case, we should move on to the next question, is how do we obtain this type of kindness? In other words, how do we become the kind of people who exercise this kindness or this steadfast love? And so we know that it's good, and so the question is, how do we do it? I mentioned earlier in passing, one of the problems that we have in regard to this issue is that though we desire kindness and steadfast love from others, we don't always desire to show it to others ourselves. And it's here that we see common grace and the flesh going head to head in our hearts. By God's common grace, we recognize that steadfast love is good, and so we want other people to show us kindness, but then the flesh rears its head, and it gives us all sorts of excuses as to why we don't have to demonstrate this kindness and faithfulness to others. We want to be loved without loving in return. We want to be people to be faithful to us without any demand on our faithfulness in return. We can convince ourselves, the flesh can convince us that it's all right to treat others in this way. We want them to obey the golden rule toward us, and we're sometimes not too excited about returning the favor. And so we desire it in other people, but when it comes to our own actions, we so often choose to be selfish and to sin. And this is the handiwork of selfishness in our flesh, and it is part of our natural fallen condition apart from the grace of God. The answer to question 5 of the Heidelberg Catechism speaks truly of us when it says, I am by nature prone to hate God and my neighbor. God requires us to love him and to love our neighbors. By nature, we're prone to hate God and our neighbor. And so that being the case, how in the world do we become the kind of people Solomon is talking about here in Proverbs 19:22? How do we become the kind of people who exercise this desirable kindness? Well, I hope the answer is obvious. We need Christ because we need new hearts. We have no hope at all of practicing this type of kindness apart from Christ. And even then, as believers, as we all know, simply being a Christian does not make us perfect in our steadfast love immediately. We don't become Christians and then right out the gate we are exercising steadfast love and loving kindness towards one another and the members of our family, the members of our church, and towards the Lord right away. This is not something that comes automatically and immediately. That's because the flesh is warring against the Spirit in our hearts as believers. If we're a believer in Christ, the Spirit is working in us to produce fruit in keeping with repentance and to conform us to the image of Christ. But the flesh within us resents this change, and it wants to go back to its old ways, its ways of selfishness. And sometimes it does. Our responsibility then, under the circumstances, is to walk with the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, to be working with the Holy Spirit who is at work in our hearts. And so This means that we have to recognize several things. We have to recognize that being a man or a woman of steadfast love is more important than a whole lot of other things to which we continually give our attention. It's more important than being rich. It's more important than being smart. It's more important than getting good grades or being funny or witty or having good looks. What is desirable in a man is his loving kindness. This means that we have to deny ourselves and put our own desires on the back burner. And we have to regard the good of others and their edification as much more important than what we want to happen or the things of our own agenda. And this is the normal Christian life as prescribed in the New Testament. This is the kind of life that Paul describes in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, when he says, "Do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." That's what a life of steadfast love will look like. It will be a life that is more geared towards the needs of others than our own felt needs. We'll be regarding ourselves with humility of mind and looking on the needs and concerns of others as more important than ourselves. And as Paul goes on to point out in that same chapter, he lifts up Christ as the model of how this should be done. He says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So that's what steadfast love looks like. We see it so clearly in the life of Christ. And when seen from that vantage point, it's no wonder that that is what is desirable in man. Isn't that exactly what we want? Someone to love us and be faithful to us the way that Christ loves us and is faithful to us. Isn't that the kind of person that you want to be in your most sanctified moments? Isn't that the type of person you want to be? Someone like Christ who steadfastly loves others. And so may God strengthen our feeble hands and humble our proud hearts and strengthen us by his Spirit that we may both have and exercise this kindness to others, so that in the midst of exercising this kindness to others, we may point them to him who is the source of all good, to God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please pray with me. Father, we see the beauty of steadfast love in the life and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for it. And Father, we know in our hearts that it is good, that it is desirable. And Father, we ask that you would conform us to the image of Christ, that you would help us to be humble and to be selfless, and that you would turn us away from pride and selfishness and our own foolish conceits. And we pray that our lives would be characterized by this type of kindness, for it is so desirable. And Lord, we pray that you would use it in our lives to point others to Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen.